we mourn with you. To those that walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, fears, and disappointments, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make them harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointments, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who have lost their mothers, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who will have emptier nests in the coming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. Let's pray. God, we come before you right now, humbly yet boldly, knowing that you hear us when we pray. And God, I just pray for every single person underneath the sound of my voice, knowing that there's many different emotions represented. And I just pray most of all that each of us, that God, we would sense your presence, we would know your love, and that we'd be encouraged today to keep fighting the good fight. I pray for our mothers, our grandmothers, soon to be mothers, and those that will be mothers years and years down the road. I pray for them. Encourage them, strengthen them, let them know that they matter, that they're making a difference, not just in a couple of lives, but in many lives. We love you and we thank you for a day like today where we can celebrate not just the moms, but also you, because you are amazing. Your love is incomparable. So we appreciate you, Jesus. Thank you for meeting with us today. In your mighty strong name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Tony. Well, as you're wiping your tears away, I'm sure some of you, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke in the New Testament of your Bible. Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to hang out for just a few minutes here. Really excited about the message at hand today. And for those of you that are new, or maybe you're in from out of town visiting with family, let me kind of catch you up light speed as you're turning there to Luke chapter 10. Last week, we finished up a series called My Unforgettable Life. And the reason why I say that is because last week, we ended in verse 37 of Luke chapter 10. And today, we literally pick up in the very next verse. So Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, and then I'm going to read five verses all the way through verse 42, and that's going to be our main text for today. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. This is the New King James Version. If you don't have a copy of God's Word with you, we'll have it on the screen behind me, of course, for those that are listening live in the room. Here's what God's Word says to us today on this Mother's Day. Now, it happened that as they went, that he entered a certain village. This is talking about Jesus. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted. That's going to be key here. She was distracted with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." By the way, you shouldn't tell God what to do. Just saying. "Tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, he's patient with her, "Martha, Martha," how many of you know when your father figure, her spiritual father, whenever they say something like your name twice in a row, it's not good, right? It's just not a good sign here. Her spiritual father tells her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Over the next few moments, I want to preach to you a standalone message, not a part of a series. We'll start a new series next week. Hope you come out for that. But I want to preach to you a standalone message single titled this. If you take notes in church, you should jot this down. There's something about Mary. That's the title of my message today. There's something about Mary. And we just read that there is some comparison that can take place between Mary's posture before Jesus and Martha's posture before Jesus. And I think today you're going to walk out encouraged, definitely a little challenged, and I think God's going to do something really special. There's something about Mary. Here's the first point for my note takers in the room. Number one, Mary focused, but Martha was distracted. That's our first observation. Mary focused, but Martha was distracted. We read in verse 39 in the beginning of verse 40, and she had a sister called Mary. Look what Mary was doing, sat at God's feet and heard his word. But here's Martha, verse 40, the beginning. She was distracted with much serving. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to Martha and where she's at. Because think about it for a second. If you had somebody that you respected, somebody who was a big deal to you coming over to your house, remember, not Mary's house, Martha's house. If you had somebody like that coming over, you would make sure you were a good host, wouldn't you? Like, you would make sure that the house was spotless. And I can only just imagine that Martha, as she's preparing her house, she did everything exceedingly well. Like, put yourself in her shoes, or I guess sandals, whatever she was wearing, and just think with me for a moment what her house looked like. It was spotless. She probably cleaned underneath the couch. That's how detailed she was. She didn't just stuff things in a closet. We know we all do this, right? To try to hide it away. She probably made sure that even in the closets, everything was organized and stacked well. I bet Martha had a 5-course meal ready for Jesus. I bet she had hors d'oeuvres set out in the good wine, y'all. I mean, it was just ready to go. I mean, I bet it was just amazing, the hospitality. She probably even did what they do on those fancy cruises where she, like, took the napkins and folded them into swans, you know, or something like that. I mean, it was immaculate. She was serving and hosting Jesus well. But I find it interesting that the Bible, the image that it paints, is that Martha was distracted with her serving. Now, we get the idea of being distracted with bad things, but serving is a good thing. But yet the Bible says that she was distracted. And in a message like today, we're not just going to point fingers at Martha and celebrate Mary. That's not what we're doing. We're really going to celebrate Mary and point fingers at ourselves. So I wonder, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were distracted? Like, busy doing something that maybe, just maybe, didn't matter. Have you ever been distracted before? I remember years ago, 5 years ago, in fact, and it was 3 days after we had our son Luke. And I remember we came off of this emotional high. I mean, it was exhilarating. All the parents understand this in the room, even if your kids are grown now. Like, it was an amazing moment for us. We had a 1-bedroom apartment at the time in North Dallas, where we're from. And so we brought our son 3 days after he was born home to our 1-bedroom apartment. And it was just this amazing thing. But I got to be honest with you, we were exhausted. We were. Now, my wife had an excuse. I really didn't have an excuse, but there I was. I was tired. And so I asked my wife, and she's so awesome. She's so amazing. I asked her, I said, hey, babe, can you help me out here? Would it be okay if I just, like, took a nap? I've got a headache and things aren't going well. Like, can I just rest for a little bit? My wife was amazing. She said, yeah, go do that. She said, just grab a couple Tylenol from underneath the sink that we had in our bathroom. We had the child locks, all that sort of deal. And so I did that. I went to the sink there, underneath the sink in our bathroom in our 1-bedroom apartment. I took 2 Tylenol. And I went to bed. Well, a little later on, it wasn't long, I woke up and I still had the headache. Still there. But now it wasn't just a headache. I also, my stomach hurts. So I thought this was pretty peculiar. And so I went to my wife, Isabel, and I said, babe, I don't know if something's wrong with the Tylenol. I took two of them. It's just not working. I feel worse now. And my stomach didn't hurt before, but now it hurts. Like, do you know what's going on? Is it expire? What's the deal? And she said, let me check. And so my wife, she goes to investigate. And she goes underneath the sink there in our bathroom. And she grabs the Tylenol bottle. And all I hear, and remember, this is a small little one-bedroom apartment. All I hear from the living room is my wife beginning to laugh hysterically. And I'm thinking, why are you laughing at me? I'm in pain, baby. I need help. And she's just like dubbed over. I mean, just laughing hysterically, like uncontrollably. So I go to investigate now, and she's holding up the Tylenol bottle. And she said, hey, is this the bottle that you took the Tylenol from? And I said, yes, that's the bottle. What's the big deal? And she says, well, no big deal, but this isn't Tylenol. This is stool softener. I wish this story was made up, but it's not. And she said, you know, I don't think this is going to help your headache. And I just got to testify today that Mama was right. It did not help. And so it was a moment where I was distracted, right? Thought I was getting the Tylenol, definitely did not get the Tylenol. And maybe you've been, hopefully not in that circumstance, but in a similar one, in this way that you thought you were doing the right thing, but you ended up doing the wrong thing. That what caught your attention you thought was important, but really it wasn't so important. And so here is Martha, and the Bible teaches us that she's distracted while Mary is focused. There's a difference in their posture before God, and distractions are all around us. In fact, this is pretty depressing for a pastor who leads a church, but studies show us that there's things literally all around you that distract you during a service. Really, there's something in your pocket or in your purse that distracts you during this service. Research tells us that the average person looks at their smartphone 150 times a day. So some will be more, some will be less, but the average is 150 times a day. Well, what's that mean, Pastor? It means you've already looked at your phone many times throughout this service. And so distractions are all around us. And so I want us to do this. I want us to look at that word distraction, and not just the English definition, but the New Testament of our Bibles, most of it, not all of it, most of it was written in Greek. That was the original language. There's a little bit of Aramaic in there as well. But I want to look at the Greek word for distraction, because I think it's going to help some of us today. Here's the Greek word for distraction. It's paraspaio. And it means this, to be drawn away, to be drawn away. And that definition is so fascinating to me, because you actually find out that many people believe that the French, back in medieval times, they had a form of torture called distraction. And here's what they would do. They would take a person in their four limbs, and they would tie each limb, a rope around it, and the other end to four different horses. They would send those horses in four different directions. Distraction, to be drawn away. And that doesn't happen to us physically in our culture, but it definitely happens mentally, spiritually, that we're pulled in all sorts of directions. We're drawn away from what's most important. And there's Martha thinking that she's doing something good, but really she's missing what's most important. She was distracted, but Mary was focused. Point number two, if you're taking notes, the comparison here. A little bit of irony when you hear this second point. Mary was content, but Martha compared. Mary was content, but Martha compared. We see this at the end of verse 40. And she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? She's just sitting on her butt in front of you. That's my context, by the way. Therefore, tell her to get up and help me to do something about it. Notice the posture. Mary is at God's feet listening to what he has to say, and Martha is complaining about what she's doing because Martha is doing all the work. She's sweating over here. I mean, this is her house. I'm not at Mary's house. This is her house. She's doing all of this stuff, and she gets upset at Jesus because he's not saying a word about it. Martha, she compared. And remember, we can't throw stones at Martha. Can't point fingers at her because we do this all the time. I came across this plant that I think is pretty interesting that kind of helps prove this point. Maybe you heard of it, maybe you haven't. It's called the matador vine, if you've heard of that before. Matador literally means killer, so it's the killer vine. And here's what this vine does. This vine will, very, very small, it will find a big, huge tree. And it will slowly work its way around the base of the tree, moving its way up to the top of the tree. And as it slowly moves its way around the tree, it literally sucks the life out of it. And so as it's moving up the tree is about to die until that vine, that matador vine, gets to the very top and it sprouts a flower, almost its crown of victory, that it has killed this massive tree. Well, why do you share that? Here's why. Because comparison does the same thing to us. It slowly works its way around our life, and many of us don't even know we're doing it. I'll prove it to you. Today you came into service, and when you came in, almost natural, second nature to many of us, you began to compare and contrast yourself with other people. We do it all the time without even knowing it. Well, they look better than me, or I look better than them. Their kids are crazy, and mine are reserved. We do this all the time. Oh, he must have money, more money than I do. Or no, they must have no money and I've got more than him. We do this all the time. When we talk to people, the way that they speak, the way that they brag about themselves, I knew I didn't like that person. We are constantly comparing and contrasting ourselves to other people. Let me pick on the guys for a second. You've got a boat. Well, you get upset whenever you see somebody with a bigger boat. You got a truck, you get mad when somebody else has got an extended cab. You got a big TV and they've got a projector on the wall and we get upset, right? Like we're constantly comparing and contrasting ourselves to other people. We're upset. Man, that person should have done this, or man, I wish they would have done that. And we never look at ourselves. We're always pointing out the problem and other people. And I don't know, I'm not getting a lot of feedback today. Maybe you're not struggling with this like I do, but I think we do. We've got problems, just like Martha had problems. She was comparing herself to Mary, telling Jesus to do something about it. Number three, my third point, observation from the text today. Mary, she spent time with God, but Martha spent time serving God. Now, from the outside looking in, you would think both of those are good, and you're essentially right, but we've got to take it a step further. Mary spent time with God, but Martha spent time serving God. We find this in verses 41 through 42. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part." You see, the Bible doesn't mince words here. That spending time with God is more important than serving God. Preaching today, I know it's Mother's Day, okay, but I gotta preach. Spending time with God is more important than serving God. But I need you to hear me today. There's some people that you heard that and you've tucked that away in your pocket. You're like, man, next time they ask me to serve, I'm saying, no. I'm just going to sit at Jesus' feet. I can't serve in the kids this week, Pastor Ryan. I need to spend time with Jesus. If that's you today, can you just hold your horses for a second? Just chill out. I think everything that the Bible does and says is on purpose. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's what I believe. That's what this church believes. That every word that's in there, I even think the maps are anointed, y'all. I mean, that's just how I feel. I just think it's all good. It's all good. Everything in there is on purpose. I don't think just the material is important for us to understand. I think the order is important. The way things are laid out in the Bible, I really believe that. The reason why I say this is because Luke 10, what we talked about last week, was the story of the Good Samaritan. And I don't think it's coincidence that we've got the story of the Good Samaritan that's all about good works right before this story about spending time with Jesus. I think God's trying to tell us something, that we've got to be good neighbors, we've got to help people out, we are called to serve, but that should never trump our relationship with Jesus, which we find out in this story. You've got to get that balance, because some of us, we are too far on the pendulum. We're over here all serving. We have no relationship with Jesus whatsoever. Or we're on this side and man, we got Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic memorized. We can read the Bible in the original language. But we won't ever help anybody though. And both of you are messed up. Gotta be in the middle. There's balance. We need both. We serve, but we serve out of spending time with Jesus. So spending time with God is more important than serving God. And it's hard for us to get our arms around, our heart around, but we've got to learn this important lesson from God's word. Jesus, he never condemns Martha for what she does. He just lets her know that all of that really doesn't matter. What matters is the time that she has with him. Another way you could say this is that Martha was busy doing something she thought was important, and because of that, she missed out on what was most important. Maybe you're in that place today. Busy doing all this stuff. I volunteer at the PTA. I'm watching my grandkids 3 times a week. I'm doing this thing and that thing. I've got 2 jobs, and I should really only have one. We got enough money, but I feel like we gotta have more. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm stretched so thin. Those all may be good things, but what's most important? What's most important? I know families that their calendars is filled up with kids' sports activities, kids' extracurricular activities. I got this thing on Friday nights and this thing on Saturday afternoons, and they divide out their schedule like that, and then if they've got time and if they've got energy, they come to church on Sunday. I know people that their kids are the CEO of their family. If the kid doesn't want to go to camp or kid doesn't want to go to church on Sunday, then they sleep in. Of course, I'm not talking to you, okay? So just don't, not Christ Covenant, it's another church I'm talking about. But so many people that a relationship with God, God's house, is not priority. And I've just got a word for somebody today. I really feel like the Holy Spirit gave this to me for somebody. That wrong priorities bring worry. I know it's Mother's Day. I hope I can preach. Wrong priorities bring worry. What does Jesus say in the text to Martha? Martha, Martha, you're going here, there. You are troubled. You are worried. You're not really helping me. Spend time with me instead. You see, she had prioritized making Jesus feel comfortable over spending time with him. Getting everything organized instead of sitting at his feet. So I'm gonna set somebody free today. There's people in this room that you've been asking yourself, why am I so worried? I go to church every once in a while. Why am I so anxious all the time? Why do I have a hard time sleeping at night? Could maybe the answer be because you've got the wrong priorities? That you're going to a substance to take away that worry. You're going to subscription meds. You're going to this relationship. You're going to that hobby to make sure your kids got everything that you don't have. And you're focused on the wrong things. And I can't think of a better message to preach on Mother's Day weekend than to let some people know, to set some people free, that the only thing that should have number one priority in your life is Jesus. Let me talk to the moms and the dads in the room. The best thing you can do for your kids is not make sure they have a bigger this or a better that, but to teach them how to love God in his house. The best thing you can do for your family is to teach them that even your marriage is not first. God is first, and everything flows from that. Why am I worried? Why do I have so much anxiousness, anxiety? Maybe it's because your priorities are wrong. Maybe God's second, but God's got to be first in your life. Wrong priorities bring worry. As we head towards the close today, here's the question that you've got to ask yourself to apply what we're talking about. Is there anything in my life that I spend more time, thought, and energy on than God? Can you wrestle with that for a moment right where you're seated? Is there anything in my life that I spend more time, thought, and energy on than God? Because if you could put occupational success, money, kids, a relationship, activities, sports, work, anything or anyone, then my prayer today is that you would make a change. God deserves to be number one in your life. He deserves to be number one. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. Those that are listening later on our website, maybe you're at a Starbucks or you're going to or from work, or maybe you're at lunch break and you've got your headphones in. Even right there, take a moment between you and God. There's just something about Mary. She got it. She understood the opportunity that she had to spend time with Jesus. Well, Pastor Ryan, you don't understand. I've got so much to figure out. We are so busy. There's so many decisions that we have to make. I don't even get to go to bed till about 11 at night. And even then, I'm up for another hour just thinking about what's to come the next day and the next day and next month, the next year. And I just speak peace over you right now. I know there's a lot to figure out. I know there's a lot going on. There's a lot of demands in the world that we live. But if you'll just set all that to the side, you'll get to it later. If you just set it all to the side and focus on what's important, and that's your time with Jesus. With eyes closed, heads bowed, I want you to picture this in your mind. Think about your physical strength. If you only had one meal a week, you'd be pretty weak. Now think about your spiritual strength. If you just get one spiritual meal on Sunday mornings, but you don't eat the rest of the week, you're going to be spiritually weak. I think the key to many of our problems is not us spending more time strategizing or planning out what we got to do, not read another self-help book or listen to another podcast. I think a lot of the answers to our problems today is just spending time with Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our minds. Even now, speak your fresh breath over us. Eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking but me. But if there's anyone here today that as you examine your life, you examine the priorities that you have, would you be honest, not with me or anyone else, but would you be honest with God? That if there's anything that's taken priority over Jesus, as you look inward, would you be bold enough to say, God, I acknowledge that you aren't first, and so I'm gonna make a change today to put you in your rightful place. Is there anybody here? That's you. Wrong priorities. Jesus is not first, but I am going to make a change. I'm going to put him where he needs to be, and everything else will flow from that. Is there anyone underneath the sound of my voice that you look at your life and you are not where you should be in your relationship to the Lord? Maybe you've never given your life to him. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to him. Maybe it's been a long time and you've walked away, you've drifted away, but no matter who you are, would you be so bold today on this Mother's Day to say, Jesus, you will be number one in my life. You gave it all for me. The least I could do is give all of me to you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If there's anybody, that's you. You're far from God and you want to make a change today. Right where you're seated, could you lift up your hand into the air so I could see it? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Don't miss your moments. God, you are so good. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Put your hand down. I see a hand in the back. Thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us right now. Eyes closed, honoring the holy moment, focusing on Jesus. For those that lifted up your hand a moment ago, I'm going to lead you out loud in a prayer. It's nothing fancy or magical about this prayer. It's just a prayer of surrender to Jesus. It's a prayer that tells God that God, I believe in you. I trust you. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. That's what Easter is all about. And so I just give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. That's all that prayer says. But here's the power. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you'll say that out loud and believe in your heart, you can know that you know that you know that you will be saved. And that's good news. So those that raise their hand and all the Christians in the room as a sign of support, and maybe those that are listening later online right where you are, each of you that responded and the Christians in support, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer after me, and more than that, to believe it with all your heart. Say this, Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Today, I put my faith, my trust, my belief in you. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you now to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I make you my Lord and personal Savior. Help me from this day forward to live my life for you. To tell others about your love. Thank you for loving me. I love you too. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I know it's Mother's Day, but can we get a little rowdy for those that just gave their life to Jesus? As you're standing to your feet, if you're able to, all across the room. I hold in my hand a Start Bible. We call these Start Bible kits because inside there's a letter for me to you sign and also a connection card. They're in the back. You'll see them as you walk out one of the set of double doors. And we just ask you, if you made that decision today for the first time or the first time in a long time, would you pick one of these up? I promise you, you will not be interrogated or pulled to some side room against your will, okay? Like, you can literally just grab one on the way out. Also, a couple more notes. This is Mother's Day, so just in case you didn't notice, the thing that we have in the lobby with the white backdrop and the flowers, it's a photo wall for you to use, so make sure that you get a good picture with your family if they're here with you. And also, in our fellowship hall, we have some free gifts for every single woman, not just all the moms, every single woman. Please take one with you for free, a 2-inch succulent for you to use and maybe put in your garden or hope to keep alive. They stay alive real easy, okay? So hopefully we can do that. But so thankful that you're here. Happy Mother's Day to you. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Take care.